So Barbara St. Jean is a longtime member of Scott Memorial, but she took a 10-year hiatus away from the church while she was serving as a licensed local pastor at Bethel United Methodist Church, just down the road a little ways. And she started coming back to Scott Memorial on the same exact Sunday that I started here as your pastor. So we have been getting to know each other and the church together as she gets reacquainted with a church that she's known for a long time but looks a little bit different now, right? And as I, same thing for me, because I knew the gathering and she knew Scott Memorial as they've merged together and become one church. So we have become sisters in Christ. And so thank you, Barbara, for joining me in this conversation today. Today, our question is, how do we know if it's God's will or our own? I try to be a good person, but sometimes I fail. Anybody relate to that one? Yeah. Just so we know we're not alone. I've got slides to go along with our conversation. We're also going to think about the way that God's ways are higher than our ways and beyond our thoughts. So we start this kind of conversation with the Wesleyan Quadrilateral that has been guiding each of the conversations that we have had throughout this series. So we start with scripture, move to reason, tradition, and experience. So we start with what scripture says about God's will, because that's the way that the Methodist Church always begins. And what do we learn about God's word and how we discern God's will and God's ways? Barbara, how does it feel? What's it like to you that God's ways are higher than our ways? Is it comforting, frustrating, a little of both?
Both.
How so?
As I think about the God that I worship and that I serve, I think about how his ways are always higher than my ways. He is everything to me. And so many times, he knows more than I do. He really has the big picture. And I don't.
God is God, and we are not.
We like to pretend like we know what God wants, but we were kind of discussing that in Sunday school today. We were talking about the plans and how we like to have plans and like to make plans, but God is God, and he's all-powerful, he's all-knowing, and he has the much bigger picture than we do. And we only have like a small piece of the puzzle. And a lot of times we make the plans, but as we said in Sunday school, God laughs.
In John 15, Jesus talks about abiding in me. And if we abide in Jesus, then he will abide in us. And he's like the vine and we're the branches that come off. Bearing fruit in the world, what helps you feel connected to the vine in daily life?
In daily life, I usually begin my day by talking with God. And talking with God, or even just during the day, talking with God for me is different than prayer. Talking with God is pouring out my feelings, my emotions. It is saying to God everything that I feel was inside. And I say that to him, to God, because he already knows what's going on in my life. He already knows what I'm feeling. He already knows the anguish that I feel or the trust. He already knows when I'm down, when I'm hurting. He already knows that I am anxious. And so I pour out my heart to him by either crying, waving my hands, or just simply talking with him. My prayer time is different. My prayer time is praising God. My prayer time is asking him, praising God and talking and asking him to be with my husband, my children, our family. It is about praying for those in hospitals and rehabs and retirement communities. It's praying to God for healing, for doctors and nurses, for children as they go back to school, school bus drivers, teachers. It's also about praying for people I know, my acquaintances, for those I pass by on the street, for churches, for all churches, for all pastors, all congregations. But then I kind of get a little more specific by praying for this church and for a church where I go to Bible study in my former church, Bethel, and for the pastors and the leaders and the congregations.
I love the distinction between the talking with God, that that personal and relational component, and the praying for, and the looking outside of yourself and considering what's going on in other people's lives and situations, and praying for healing and wholeness and for God's presence to be in those situations.
My time is also spent in meditation, where I'm quiet and still and listen for God's voice to see, discern where he's leading me, and for also studying, reading the Bible. I have several devotions that I read, and from those devotions, I take one word from each and apply it to my life each day, as well as studying the Bible for Bible studies.
What's your word for today?
The word for today is trust.
Amen. So as we think about the way that God's sort of bird's eye view is higher than our ways, it reminds me of a puzzle. And how many people here have you ever done a puzzle? Okay, most everybody's done a puzzle. Who likes doing puzzles? Oh, a good handful of people. That side likes puzzles. This side, meh. So there's a difference, I think, in doing a puzzle by yourself and doing a puzzle with someone else. And there's a difference in doing a puzzle when you have the box or the picture to be able to see what the puzzle's going to look like. If people just gave you a bag full of pieces, how much harder would that be if you had no idea what the picture is going to look like? I mean, puzzle strategy is start with the edges, right? But sometimes you're just putting one piece together at a time, and it takes forever, and you don't know. Maybe you work on this section for a little bit, and then you move over here, and you work on this section for a little bit, and you're kind of stalling, and it's taking a long time. And then someone else comes and looks at the pieces that you have all laid out and organized, and they just do and put it all together. That's what Eric does when we do a puzzle. I stare and struggle and commiserate with the pieces, and he just knows where they all go. But I think sometimes life is like that, and God has the picture. There's a slide for this one. God has the picture, and we are just putting one piece together at a time. In our free will, our choices matter, but God's will is larger. God has a bigger picture, not just for us, but for everyone, for the whole world. And we don't get to see the whole picture at one time. When have you felt like you've only had one piece of the picture but trusted God to see the whole?
When I was a pastor at Bethel, they had an old septic system. And the septic system really needed to be replaced, but no one was stepping up to take the steps to figure out what needed to be done. Now I, being a hometown girl here, in city. I don't know, didn't know anything about septic systems. And so I had to do a lot of research on the internet, but also trying to filter out with people in the area to see the people who knew the people there and who would know who would be the best person to contact. So having only one piece of the puzzle, I could only have one piece. And then once I found another piece, I had to put that in with the other piece until finally I had all the parts of the puzzle, the pieces, the people that needed to come to replace it, as well as figuring out the cost of the septic system. And so piece by piece, we were able to get that new septic system.
I think there's always some sort of challenge where we feel at a loss. We feel unprepared to handle the situation, such as being a city girl with a septic issue. It's unfamiliar territory, and there's always that unfamiliar territory in how we rely on God to help us figure out where the next turn is to get to the destination for each part of our journey.
Let me say, I learned more about septic systems than I ever wanted to know.
I believe that. As we think about, you know, what it takes to take those next steps, sometimes it takes community. And in our Wesleyan tradition, we have means of grace that help us to know what God is wanting for us and for our communities. How do practices like prayer, communion, or scripture reading help you to stay open to God's will?
I use scripture to keep in the word and to see where God is leading me, but also through prayer, through the talking and through the prayer and through the communication with God, I use that to discern what His will is, for it's about His will and not my will. And that communion is a means of grace where we partake of Holy Communion, and that grace comes into us, and that grace gives us God's guidance and stays connected to God through the grace. And so I use all of those as well as community. I go to family and friends, colleagues, when I find a place that I feel stopped in trying to discern God's will. I had a colleague who was the pastor at Knox Island that she and I would share with each other our days and our joys and our troubles and our sorrows, and we could just pour it out to each other, and through that we were able to lift each other up to discern where God was leading us. I also go to family and to other Christian friends that help us.
Yeah, it's so important that we don't go it alone. God's will for us is that we would be one. When we participate in the Eucharist, the Holy Communion, someone hands that one piece of bread to you, and they say, Mary, the body of Christ is broken for you. And it's a reminder that it is for us, but it is for the next person in line behind you as well. And for those who are not here in this building, and for those who are in every other church receiving communion, that we always say that we would be one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world. So God's will is not just about our own lives, but how God is living in each of us out into the world, which is so important for our youth to remember as they go back to school and set an example for who we are called to be in Christ Jesus. Tradition gives us tools and practices, but often we only know how God is leading when we look back. That rearview mirror comes in handy. Let's talk about how we've actually experienced God's will in real life. The word knowing comes to mind. Like in a good marriage, I say good marriage because not all marriages are created equal. There is a knowing in how we operate as a couple. You know what your partner likes or doesn't like. You know what they would think is a good idea or a bad idea. And still sometimes when opportunities come up, you still want to check with them and you still want to have that conversation about that. But an example that came up recently is Eric and I like hockey. The past couple of years, we've gone to hockey games every year, and the Admirals sales guy calls me and says, "Hey, want to get some season tickets? We see that you've been coming." And I said, maybe. I'm going to talk to my husband first. And now Eric would have been thrilled if I bought tickets for us to go to the Admirals game, but I still felt like, for a few $100, we're going to have a chat about it first. And that is how we operate with God when, whether it's something as simple as tickets to a game or when you're getting ready to buy a new car, God is present in these normal pieces of our lives, and God wants us to care what God thinks. So how has your relationship with God grown deeper with this knowing over time?
It's taken time. Through prayer, through Bible studies. When I have taken the Bible studies that I've taken, I learn more about God in the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, in the epistles, and just who God is and who I am. And through that, I have learned that my relationship with him has grown deeper and deeper. And the more I know God, the more I want to know God. And I can only do that through taking it one step at a time, one piece at a time. And just learning through experiences who God is and how I can trust him when I go to him and just talk to him and pray.
Do you feel like the longer that you have been walking in your faith, the easier it is to know what the right choice is or the right decision is?
Yes and no. yes, it has grown stronger. Knowing what God's will is, because to me it's all about knowing what God's will is, where and see where God is working in the church, in my life, in others. It also has been sometimes difficult, because when I think I'm doing something the will of God, sometimes it's not even for me. The example was, I was here at Scott. My daughter was with me. She was sitting on the pew in the pew with me next to the center aisle. I felt this huge nudge during the last song to get up and go and pray for my ex-husband who was not doing well at the time. Behind me was a couple, a man and his son. Throughout the first verse, all I could feel was this giant nudge of me to push me out into the aisle to come up to pray. I literally pushed my daughter out into the center aisle, came up to pray. It wasn't until after the service that I met with Bob Pearsall, who was leading. And Bob came to me and said, "You know, if you hadn't gone up to pray, the man and his son would have never come up." So sometimes when we think it's our will, God might be using it for someone else.
Mm-hmm. That's a great example. I think about the ways that the GPS works. So when I moved to Hampton Roads from Middlesex County, Virginia, where there were 4 stoplights in about 30 miles, when I moved to Hampton Roads, I didn't know the area well. I didn't know how to get from point A to point B. And I think about that long-term knowing. I've lived in this area for almost 15, 16 years now, off and on, and I can make my way around at least Norfolk, Chesapeake, and Virginia Beach, and Suffolk without a GPS, and there is some freedom in that, and yet sometimes I plug it in just to see what the traffic is doing, if there's maybe a shortcut to get around it, a different way to go, but there's a comfort in the knowing where to go to, but it took time. That first year that I was at Virginia Wesleyan, I did not know where to go, couldn't have told you how to get to downtown Norfolk, and then once I got there, couldn't have told you how to get back. But there's a comfortability in the knowing, and yet the GPS, the navigation system, is comforting as well. I think it would be nice, don't you think, if God would say, in 300 feet, turn right, everything's going to be okay. But it's not always that clear for us. And so we rely on God to show us the way. And we recognize the grace in knowing that if we turn left instead of right, God's going to reroute us and help us to get back to where we're going. Something about this question, how do I know the will of God? How do I know if it's God's will or my own will? Is that question comes from a place of good intentions. That question comes from already seeking God's plan, God's purpose, God's divine way in the world. And it doesn't come from a place of like, well, should I rob this bank? Is that God's will? You're not going to ask that question. You're not even going to ask that question if you're already walking in God's will. And so that helps us to look at this question and whatever the scenario is that you might be thinking, what is God's will in this situation? It is already saying something that you are considering it to begin with. We've seen that discerning God's will is more like asking, which path should I take? It's about living in relationship with God and being a part of God's greater purpose in the world. Like the vine and the branches, when we abide in Christ, we draw life from God and bear fruit together. Go ahead.
I was going to say, sometimes we think it's God's will, and maybe we are taking one step or the one piece of the puzzle at a time. But sometimes, too, there God says stop, or he's not moving, or he says wait. And sometimes we just need to sit back and wait until God tells us to move.
Mm-hmm.
And go back to God, talk to God, go back to scripture, prayer, meditation. Meditation is really good for that. Just being still and being able to listen for God and the way direction he would have you to go.
Yes, and remembering that the puzzle pieces are not just our own. They're part of God's bigger picture for redemption for the whole world. And a bigger picture that we don't get to see and we can't even imagine its completion yet. It's even better than we can imagine. So as we close this time together, we rely on that knowing as we continue to grow in our relationship with God. And God's will is not only for our own lives, but for healing and renewal for all of creation as we abide in God and God abides in us. Thank you, Barbara, for being a part of this conversation.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Would you pray with me? Would you maybe open and then I'll close us in prayer?
Let us pray. Holy and loving, gracious God, we just thank you so much. We just praise you and honor you. And we want to, with our lives, Lord, when we seek you, we just want to do your perfect will. But we don't always see your good and perfect will. We only see one step at a time or one piece of the puzzle. But we are entrusting to you, O Lord, through your Holy Spirit within us to guide us and show us your good and perfect will, to see where you are working in the world, in our church, in our lives, in our families. Help us, O Lord, to be in tune to you through prayer, scripture, circumstances, that we might do your holy word and to do your good will for all, for the good of the kingdom of heaven.
And God, we thank you that you are with us, that you have forgiven us, that there is freedom in your will for us to seek you in everything that we think, say, and do. That as we walk through life, we are searching for you and searching to participate in your work in the world, that we might bring your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. God, we just pray that we would walk in your ways, that we would follow the lamp that leads to your path. And so we pray together the prayer that leads us here at the gathering at Scott Memorial. God, help us together with you to feed the body and mind and spirit,
well-being,
Christ's hands and feet.
Help us to love and serve our local community.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Barbara.